I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, a New York Times investigation exposes how many rural regions of Texas violate the rights of individuals charged with misdemeanors. Digging into Maverick County, there are questions why indigent suspects are rarely given access to an attorney, even when they ask for one, leaving them in jail, often without charges. We're going to have the latest. And later on The Source, on Tuesday, President Trump signed an executive order that demands broad changes to how elections are run in the United States. Critics say the order is overreaching and unconstitutional, but if allowed to stand, it would block millions of qualified Americans from being able to vote in federal elections. We're going to hear how this could impact voting in places like South Texas. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source. But first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Under the U.S. Constitution, anyone who is arrested and facing jail time is entitled to a lawyer. If they can't afford one, then one will be appointed to them, paid for by the government. It's a way to help make sure that we have a fair and efficient court process. But in many rural parts of America, studies are showing that it's not always the case. And in Maverick County, Texas, just south of San Antonio, a New York Times investigation reveals multiple examples that the system is not working that way, leaving some in jail for months without ever even being charged. Jolie McCullough has uncovered the story. She is a reporter focusing on criminal justice system in the rural Texas as part of a local investigations fellowship at the New York Times. And Jolie, welcome to The Source.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, our phone lines are open. If you've got a question or a comment, if you've spent some time in the Maverick County lockup and you have some stories to tell, we want to hear them. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK, or not necessarily Maverick County, but any county that seems like things didn't go right. So, Jolie, you paint a picture of the Maverick County lockup as being a Kafkaesque nightmare. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, so what's happening in Maverick County is people are arrested often on minor crimes, on misdemeanors, but they are not given lawyers at any point, usually in a misdemeanor crime. Even for felonies, it's often months, maybe years after an arrest in which a lawyer is given. But what we're seeing happen routinely in Maverick County is people are arrested for low-level crimes. They ask for a lawyer. They're not given one. And then they can stay in the jail for sometimes, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 months without a charge having been come against them. What's happening is police or the sheriff's office, you know, the arresting agency can take weeks, if not months, to hand over a case to the local prosecutors. The prosecutors then take, you know, weeks, if not months, if not longer, to file a charge or secure an indictment. And meanwhile, typically they're not checking, they're not told if someone's in jail. So it's this very slow process that really has no checks on it to make sure people are not being held in jail longer than state law allows without charges against you.
I don't know if you've ever been locked up in the county jail, but that's the nightmare that no one knows you're in there, that they've forgotten about you. And that seems to be what has happened in Maverick County. I mean, couldn't these inmates have some sort of access outside and say, somebody do something?
So that usually is what the defense attorney's job is, right? So in Texas, there are laws where they say if you're accused of a misdemeanor, a jail can hold you for up to 30 days. And if you haven't been charged within those 30 days, you have to be released. Now, granted, the prosecutor can then file a charge against you later and you can, you know, be told your court date or you can be rearrested, but you can't be indefinitely held. Essentially, it's these laws meant to protect criminal defendants that the state legislature passed, you know, more than two decades ago. If you're accused of a felony, the max is 90 days. So generally, you're supposed to be appointed, if you've requested an attorney, if you say you can't afford one, and you ask for a court-appointed attorney, and you've been arrested, that's supposed to happen, if you're eligible, within a few days, right? You're supposed to get an attorney within a few days. If what's supposed to happen is if your attorney, like you're in there for more than the 30 or the 90 days, your attorney then says, hey, my guy's been in there for more than 30 or 90 days, he needs to be let out. And that will happen. Like the judges will see those orders and they'll sign the release. When there's not a defense attorney, when there's no one really there to raise the alarm on, hey, my client is being wrongly treated, he's being wrongly held, there's no one really watching. These people, you know, they might have family members, they might not know that, most people don't know that there's these deadlines in place, that, and especially in Eagle Pass, people kind of just, you know, there's an attitude of, yeah, you know, they're in jail and they'll get out when they get out, including the people in jail. They don't know they're not supposed to be there sometimes, and they just think, whenever they let me out is when I get out. So it's really just this long-standing practice.
Yeah, but you're saying that they should have been let out. If the process worked, they would have been let out in 30 days or 90 days, depending on the charge. But they're in there for a year almost or longer.
Yes. Sometimes it can be up to that, if not more. Yeah. And it's just a system that, because the checks and balances are failing, and people, they're getting lost in the jail.
So let me ask you this, though. I mean, it costs money to keep people in jail. You have to have guards.
Correct.
You have to feed people. There's cost involved. So the county is losing money keeping people in jail longer than they have to, aren't they?
The county pays for these people to be in jail. These are not privately run detention.
Well, I mean,
centers.
Someone's got to pay the
jail.
Bill eventually. So, I mean, what about, isn't the county concerned about the fact that they're paying to incarcerate people for all these months when they don't have to?
That, you know, when I'm asking about why people are in jail, what's going on, the cost of detaining them has not been raised as a concern to me. So that's a question I would like to know as well, but it's not something that comes up.
And so when these people are in jail, are they doing anything? Because I've seen my experience covering the county jails, that sometimes people who are in for nonviolent offenses are told to wash the cars for the deputies, including some of their personal cars, or do yard work around the jail and other yard work around the county land. Are they doing that? Are they being put to work during this time?
I have not heard any evidence of that. I can't say for sure, but again, I haven't heard anything about that. It's often the people who I'm talking to, they're just there. They're sitting, they're waiting, they're counting the days as they go by.
Yeah, so I wonder if there's a Cool Hand Luke element to all this. And you really show that you're focusing on Maverick County, but you're saying this is a broader problem.
Yeah, so as you said at the beginning of this, right, this happens across the state, across the country, right? Like these rights that are enshrined in our Constitution that have come down and been held by, you know, Supreme Court ruling after court ruling, you know, it's not always going to be followed. These rights, especially the right to an attorney, is something that across Texas in small towns is very often,
right,
you
point
know, more
to
than half.
Studies showing that this is a rampant problem, particularly in low-income rural counties.
Correct. Yeah, this is something that happens. Studies have shown across the country that especially access to attorney is hard to come by, is in lower level crimes, even though you can be jailed for them. Maverick County was a focus for me because as I was looking across the state at some counties that appoint low, have very low appointment rates, it's the one that I saw most routinely and most almost just routinely keeping people in jail without charges for months and months at a time without these seeming like any process really in place to make sure they're getting out.
Okay, we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. We're going to continue our conversation about this gripping New York Times investigation into the Maverick County Jail and about why some inmates never seem to have not been charged. There's no paperwork until the New York Times started asking questions and then they were released. What's up with that? If you got a question or comment, give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The source continues after this.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp carrier dedicated to handling claims proactively and a commitment to helping injured employees and workers' comp policyholders get back to business. TexasMutual.com/claims.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the next half hour, we're going to be looking at the executive order recently signed by President Trump that demands broad changes to how elections are run in the United States. Critics are saying that it is overreaching and unconstitutional, but if it's left to stand, it would block millions of qualified Americans from being able to vote. But right now, we're talking about a New York Times investigation that exposes how many rural regions of Texas and across the nation, they're violating the rights of individuals who are charged with low-level crimes, looking especially at Maverick County. There are questions about why indigent suspects are rarely given access to an attorney, even when they ask for one, leaving them in jail for a long time without charges. And we're joined by the reporter on that story, Jolie McCullough. And so if you're kept in jail without facing charges and then they're finally released after so many months, why can't they sue? Isn't that a violation of their rights?
Yeah, that's a question that I've gotten a lot. And it's one of those things where this is a very poor county. And like I said, sometimes the people who are being held don't understand, like don't realize that they shouldn't be being held as long as they have been. If they do think they're being wronged, they're kind of used to a system. They don't really expect change or results from it. It's kind of been, you know, they're used to how this has always been. And it's something that people in these situations, you know, these are very poor people who don't tend to think of, oh, let me call a civil rights lawyer or something like that. It's not something that is usually
right.
Top
so
of
you,
mind.
You say that it's like Maverick County being Maverick County. People there just have that kind of attitude.
Yeah. And I think in a lot of small towns, right, like if poor people are being treated a certain way, it's kind of almost, it becomes widely accepted as this is the way it's always been.
So the question, though, is, like, who's responsible, though? You know, we have the sheriff runs the jail, right?
Correct.
So, but he wouldn't talk to you.
Correct.
So, but it just kind of reminds me of what's happening now nationally on things. You know, no one wants to take responsibility for these things. And the county judge, though, he did talk to you. What was he saying?
Yeah, so in terms of responsibility, that's something that it really seems to be, you know, it's the system in general, right? But everyone really points fingers at each other. So, for example, the county judge has blamed a failure of communications between the prosecutors and the jail, right? For the jail and the prosecutors to be communicating of who's in jail when they're getting these charges. Should we be moving faster, prioritizing jail cases as opposed to people who are out on bond? There, the prosecutor has blamed the jail, specifically the sheriff's office, saying this is their job to make sure that laws are being followed on releases. A jail manager, like a case manager at the jail, had blamed lower level judges, justices of the peace and the municipal judges who often are the ones who set bail for defendants, you know, shortly after an arrest. She says she will send them rosters, but they're the ones who have to order and track how long people have been in jail and order the releases. And then those magistrates have blamed the jail for saying they don't release people even when they do order them sometimes. So it's really this a situation in this county where everyone is blaming each other. But it's, you know, it's honestly a systemic issue where if any one person was wanting to kind of force this issue,
yeah,
a lot of finger pointing could make change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody could just say it's someone else's fault. You put in your article that Maverick County does have a history of political corruption. We're not saying that there's any in that's happening here, but that is part of the heritage.
Right. It's a county that has, you know, a lot of political feuds. There's been some nasty recent elections. And there was a big federal investigation about 10 years ago, 15 to 10 years ago, in which 4 out of 5 of the county commissioners were sent to federal prison for bribery kickback scheme that was investigated. And there's been a lot of, you know, local officials or local residents, I mean, are very focused, and they keep a hard eye on county spending. They have an eye out for corruption, and it's something that a senior officer I put in my article told me that a lot of local residents call it the free state of Maverick, because, you know, the local officials, he says, will do what they want and deal with the ramifications later.
The state of Texas, you point out in your article, spends among the least among the nation states for indigent legal defense. What does that look like? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Texas, according to the Sixth Amendment Center, which is a national group that tracks the right to counsel, Texas is 46 out of 50 in terms of how much it spends per capita, obviously, not raw nut dollars, on indigent defense. So it's very low in terms of just how much the state and how much counties invest in this practice.
And so other areas, they have like a department in the county that will handle this kind of thing, a public defender's office. And they don't have that in many counties in Texas. Instead,
right.
you appoint an attorney who will sign up to be an appointed attorney. They'll get a flat fee in order to defend these suspects, but they don't even do that.
Well, so that is the process, right? Like most of these smaller counties, right, they don't have public defender's offices. Those cost more money. They will say, okay, we'll set aside some money to hand to pay private attorneys who will take these cases, but that requires there to be private attorneys willing to take the cases for fairly low pay. And also requires, there to be appointments, like people, the judges making these appointments in the first place.
Right. So, but when they don't even do that bare minimum, you have these suspects. They haven't been convicted of a crime yet. They've been arrested. So they're being incarcerated on the suspicion of committed a crime. There's never been a bail set because it never went through a bail hearing. Were they magistrated?
There has been bail. These people have had bail set, essentially, like some of them were as low as, you know, $3,000, $5,000. So that is why generally this is the people who are held in jail are poor people because they can't afford often if, you know, if you're accused of a misdemeanor, relatively low bail amounts.
Right. And so and then you don't really get that back because you're buying a bail bond. And so when you're paying to the $30,000 bond with $3,000 and you don't get that money back. And then your family may not
right.
even have that money. So you're
right.
told you need to just, you know, sit it out, wait it
right.
out. But then there's no process. They never go from there, even after they set a bond.
Right. So that's where the failures start to kind of happen in Maverick County is they're magistrated, a bail is set, but it's something that they can't afford. So then they sit and they wait, and they wait until however long it takes for the police and the prosecutors to move a case along. And meanwhile, no one's checking to see how long or if even the person is in the jail.
And so how many counties are like this? Is Maverick County like the lone outlier? Because we're seeing from these studies that this is a problem. Is Maverick County just the most egregious one? If we looked around in other poor, low-income rural counties, we'll see similar situations.
Yeah, so like as you mentioned, the studies show this does happen, and I've looked like this happens elsewhere. Maverick County is an egregious example of like how often it happens and how long people are held.
So you profile Fernando Padron, and he was stuck in the Maverick County jail, accused of stealing credit cards that he used to buy diapers and other items for his family. And how long has this thing been going on with him?
He is his case has stretched on almost 3 years at this point.
And how long did he spend in jail?
Yeah, so he's been in jail so far for 20 months. The first 9 months he was there. He had no charge against him. He was just waiting to see if he would be charged with a crime, and he was ultimately charged with evading arrest, not with the credit card abuse, but for running for about half a block when police found him. And that is a misdemeanor where the maximum sentence is a year in jail. So he had already served 9 months, but when he was released right after he was charged, and when he came back to court, his first court hearing the next month, he was offered a year of probation, plus, you know, some fines and fees that come with that. And he ended up he did not meet his probation requirements. He didn't show up.
Right. It takes money to actually go through probation.
Mm-hmm.
And then you write that if he had an actual defense attorney, they never would have gone along with that plea deal because all the time already served, it probably would not have gotten through a trial.
If he had a defense attorney, the defense attorney could have argued, hey, he's already served 9 months, let's just close it out now. They could have argued, hey, if you want to give him probation, he can't afford the fees. Can we waive those? He's like clearly indigent. But that didn't happen. So he got the typical probation deal. And then after 3 months of, you know, not showing up to his appointments, he was arrested again. He said he didn't go to his appointments because he didn't have the money to pay and he didn't want to go without the payments. He was there then for 6 months before he was brought before the court, just on the motion to revoke his probation. And that was much longer than he should have been. The judge was actually upset that he had been there for 6 months. Nobody knew he was there. Seemingly the probation officer said, we found out he was in there because he finally called me just recently. So we set to get him on the docket. And then after that, when he was finally released, he was again arrested because then the felony charge came down for the credit card abuse. So he then was arrested again and was in jail for more time. And that is the charge that is still outstanding.
When you took your findings to some legal experts, you told them what's happening in Maverick County, how do they react?
Yeah, I took this to, you know, some veteran defense lawyers around the state, to some also to just constitutional scholars around the state and the country. Mostly I encountered just shock and kind of disgust a bit. Like people were very upset with how this was happening and arguing that this was in violation of many laws, and just, you know, mistreatment of these poor defendants is what they were saying.
Well, they were calling it atrocious. They had some pretty tough language for this, thinking that this really should not be happening in the modern United States. This is like a throwback to, something that happened 100 years ago.
Yeah, someone called it Kafka-esque. Yeah, atrocious, you know, inept. They were upset about hearing about these conditions and this treatment, these practices.
And so in your reporting, you began to asking questions about some other people who were incarcerated. And when you started asking questions, they got released. What happened?
Yeah. So as I was going through, I was, you know, in this county for nearly a year. I was, you know, investigating this county. And as I would find information on people, it's very hard to get a full picture because records are very poorly kept. Also hard to get some places to hand them over to you. And when I would be able to finally paint a picture on someone and realize, like, I couldn't find a real reason why someone was in the jail, and I was curious about that. In two cases, I asked the official, like local officials, what was going on, like why were they there, and they were, you know, quickly released after I asked that. One of them, the jail has them on some charge. That the district attorney said the jail had said they were here on some charge, but we've never heard of it. And he had been in there,
So there was no documentation, there was nothing, no paperwork on these guys. They were just in jail.
Right. I mean, the jail knows they're there, but in terms of any, like the prosecutors or people who would be pursuing action against them did not have records on them, no.
Jolie McCullough is a reporter focusing on criminal justice systems in rural Texas. She's part of a local investigation fellowship at the New York Times. Jolie, thank you so much for coming on the air and talking to us about what's happening in Maverick County.
Thank you.
And when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about an executive order signed by President Trump this week that would make it much more difficult to vote. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us.